Good morning. Welcome to worship here at First Christian Reformed Church this morning. And thanks again for inviting me to lead worship this morning. If you are a visitor here with us today, there are visitor cards in by the pew Bibles and the songbooks, and we'd like to ask you to fill one out and put it in the offering plate so that we can stay in contact with you. And I'd like to ask you to rise for our call to worship this morning. For our call to worship this morning, I've chosen a couple verses from Isaiah chapter 61. Starting with verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. The rain and the warm weather of this week, we can see all around us how things have grown, how they have sprouted and popped up out of the ground. In that same way, our God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations, and he's going to use us. Let's begin our worship by singing, Come, People of the Risen King.
Thank you.
Will you join me in prayer? Our most gracious God, it is our desire to rejoice before you this morning, to rejoice in the beauty of the day, to rejoice in the beauty of the fellowship that we are a part of, that we are one voice lifted to your name's honor and glory. And Lord, as we worship, we pray that your grace and your peace will rest upon us and that your Spirit will fill us in our time together. For Jesus' sake, amen. Take this time to greet one another. It is a beautiful morning, and it's beautiful because we are able to come into God's house, to come before our great God. But when we come into this house, when we enter His presence, we also realize how unworthy we are. And each one of us can look back on this past week and see the sins that we've committed. And it's necessary that we do that. We need to realize how great our sin is. And we're going to be talking more about that in the sermon later on. But we need to see our sins so that we can see how much we need our Savior. Will you join me as we offer a prayer of confession this morning? Our dear Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, we confess that each one of us can look back on our lives of this past week. And Lord, we see how we have failed you. We see the sins that we have committed. Lord, sins of the words that we spoke, words that were harsh, words that were not becoming of a Christian. We see it in the actions that we took. Lord, things that we did that hurt other people. Things that we did not do that we should have been doing. Lord, we confess that many times our thoughts were not in the places that they should be. Whether it be thoughts of malice, thoughts of evil desire. Lord, we confess that our lives have not mirrored what you would like to see from us. And Lord, all the more we realize how much we need you. How much we need a Savior, because we cannot do anything to fix those sins. It's only our Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, that gives us the forgiveness and the freedom that we need. And so, Lord, accept our confession. And bless us as we open your word to hear what it is and how it is that you do want us to live. For Jesus' sake, amen. We're going to be looking and reading from the book of Romans this morning. We're going to be talking about how we are saved. And along with being saved also comes a commitment, committing ourselves to our God. And the book of Romans, Paul lays it out so well, how we understand that we are sinners, how we are saved, but also how we are to live. And so I'd like to read a few verses from Romans 12 in which Paul tells us how God wants us to live. And I'm going to be reading that from the Message. Romans 12, starting with verse 9. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. I'm going to sing The Stand. Before we go to our God in congregational prayer, I have a number of announcements. There's quite a few. I got to remember them all here. First of all, Sandy Greenfield is home, and we're thankful for that. And as far as Dorothy Tabak, what's written in the bulletin is incorrect. Dorothy Tabak is at Hillside Manor right now. She's not at home. I was told that it looks like she probably didn't have a stroke, but she fell and she broke her arm, and so she's going to be at this Hillside Manor attached to the Beaver Dam Hospital. She's going to be there for a while, and she does appreciate visitors. So, also this weekend on I think Friday and for sure on Saturday, the Building and Grounds Committee is getting a group together that are going to be doing some shingling on the garage of the parsonage and above the study. And so we want to pray for good weather to do that. And also those who have been contacted and who are volunteering are asked to meet up here in the front for just a couple minutes after the service. And also, if you'd like to help out in providing food for those who are working, contact Christy Zonneveld. She's heading that up. And the other thing was just a reminder that starting next week, Sunday evening, our worship service will begin at 6 o'clock. And I was just going to note, too, and maybe some of you already know this, Laura Tempest, she had a doctor's appointment this week. It went well. Renee took her to the doctor. But then she was able, with the doctor's permission, she was able to travel to Northwest Iowa and to be there for her niece's wedding. In fact, she was even able to play the piano or organ for part of it. They were actually, I guess Renee said they wheeled her up in a wheelchair to the piano or whatever it was just so that she could have a part in that wedding. So that was pretty special for her. So let's go to our God in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to call you Father, to know that your love is so great. It's even greater than the love that we experience as parents to our children and children to our parents. A love that is unimaginably great. And yet, Lord, we as these sinful human beings can come into your presence and come here and worship together today. And Lord, we're not alone. We're part of this great body of believers that is gathered in worship all over our world today. Lord, how thankful we are to be part of that great church. And we pray that this day that you will strengthen, encourage, and empower your church. Lift her up, Lord, where things are hard. We think of those who are persecuted for their faith. Lift them up. Give them strength to endure. And Lord, encourage us to keep going forward in the work that you have for us. Bless us in that, we pray. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for being able to see how things are growing. To, Lord, have that needed moisture of this past week. Truly, you do take care of us. And Lord, as we look ahead to a long summer and a long growing season, we do pray that you will continue to send the rain, to send the sunshine, to send the warm weather, all as it is needed. Lord, we thank you for all of those who, Lord, who have been sick, who have been in the hospital. Lord, we're hearing good reports this morning. Lord, we thank you that Sandy was able to come home. And we pray that you will bless her recovery, that you will help her to feel better. Lord, we thank you that Dorothy is doing better. And we pray that you will continue to bless her and help her, Lord, to heal. Lord, her advanced age is something to be taken into consideration, but Lord, you are still the great physician. Lord, we thank you that Nancy Wieringa is here with us today. And Lord, we thank you for blessing the surgery that she had, and we pray that you will continue to bless her and grant her healing. Thank you for the healing that Lois Pausma has also experienced. And we think of Howard Lumens. Lord, again, a major surgery. And Lord, you are bringing him through it, and he's doing well. Thank you for blessing Leanne Heisinger's surgery. And Lord, as she recovers from this hip replacement, Lord, give her strength and give her patience, we pray. Continue to bless those who are suffering from cancer. Remember Janet. And Lord, we pray that nothing further will show up in the tests that she has. Be with Carly as she undergoes more treatments. Lord, give her strength. Help her to endure it. And we pray that it will bring healing to her. Lord, we thank you that Laura is doing as well as she is. Thank you that she had the opportunity to be at her niece's wedding. Lord, we pray too that you will bless Jessie. Lord, that you will take care of her, that you will give her strength. Lord, that even when things don't seem good, that Lord, you will provide and that you will take care of her. Lord, continue to bless Pastor Craig and Dominique and the family as they're on vacation. I pray that you'll grant them a good time. And may they be able to come back here refreshed and ready to take up their work again. Lord, bless each one of us in our daily work, in the work that you've given us to do. We pray for strength to do it. For those, Lord, who are searching for work, Lord, grant it to them. Lord, provide for them. And Lord, as a church too, we ask your continued blessing upon our ministry in this community. Lord, you've placed us here for a purpose. Help us to see where we fit in, where there are needs that we can fill, where you want us to go and what you want us to do. Help us to follow your leading, we pray. Please continue to bless our country, our leaders. We think too, Lord, of those in our country who have suffered greatly because of the weather, because of flooding and severe storms. Lord, bless the relief effort that is put out to help them. Bless those families that have lost everything. Bless those families that have lost loved ones. Lord, please provide for them. Comfort them, we pray. Remember, too, our world and all of the violence that goes on, that we hear of every day in the news. We pray for peace. We pray for, Lord, an end to so much of this terrorism. We pray that you will work in the hearts of those who desire only to bring harm. Please change them. But Lord, help us too to rest in the knowledge that you are in control and that you have everything in your hand. This world is not running on its own. You are still in control. We can trust you. And we can know that you will lead your people through everything that goes on. Bless us, Lord, as we continue in our worship today too. For Jesus' sake, amen. Charlie just said, I was to remind you too, that there's a covenant plan meeting right after church this morning as well. For those of you who that involves, where are you going to be meeting, Charlie? Right? Well, if they're like one group's up front, you probably have to be in the back. So, okay, in the back. This morning, I would like to share with you a passage from Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So if you would, please stand as we read God's word together. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Quite a few years ago, and I say it's quite a few years, it's probably 35 to 40 years ago, when I was out of high school, but it was the pre-Rene days yet. There was a little time there. And a couple of my friends and I decided to go to a concert. We went to a concert in Madison. And the group was Seals and Crofts. Maybe some of you remember that group. They were popular in the late 70s and early 80s. Now, when they were nearing the end of their concert, they invited anyone who wanted to stay after the concert to come forward and listen to them talk about their faith. Okay, that sounded kind of, we were a little curious, what's going on? And they said that their faith was the Baha'i faith. Now, we had never heard of that. And so we were curious. And I don't know if it was just me that was curious, but I had the car. So the other guys had to stay, because I wanted to hear what was going on, what this was all about. And so after the concert, they shared their faith. They talked about this Baha'i faith, and they were there to promote the local assembly in Madison. And we listened to it, and it did. It sounded very appealing. And yet, there was something missing. And we'll talk more about that. You know, we were young and a bit naive, You know, we lived here in Waupun, in amongst a Dutch Reformed community. None of us had gone to college. So, you know, we weren't exposed to a lot of what they had to say. So I want to just share with you a little bit, and I've got this thing. Okay, what is the Baha'i faith? I had to look it up again because it's been a long time. But just briefly, what was it all about? The Baha'i faith talks about three unities. The unity of God, the unity of religion, and the unity of humanity. They believed that God, there is one God, one creator God, who is basically inaccessible. Okay? He created the world, but then he's way off, far away. But this God did send prophets. Moses was a prophet, Jesus was a prophet, Muhammad was a prophet, Buddha was a prophet, Confucius was a prophet. He sent all of these different prophets to different people because of their different needs. The unity of religion. All religion comes from this one God, same spiritual source. And eventually, over a period of time, all religions will eventually come together, and they will all be one. The unity of humanity, all men are equal. There is no difference between race or class. And the human purpose in this life is to know and love God, even though that God is very far away, to know him and to gain peace through meditation, through prayer. And the greatest form of worship is to serve humanity. Now, some of that sounded pretty good. If you think about it, if all faiths come from the same place, well, then there's really no need to fight with each other. And the idea of serving humanity, it's a good thing. And one more thing that I distinctly remember from that night yet was when they talked about the afterlife. They said there really is no heaven and there is no hell. Depending upon how close you got to God during your life, in the afterlife, you are either going to be close to God or you're going to be far away from him. Now, I didn't find any more information on that. But that's what they said. Now, when we got back in the car, we talked about it. Well, what's missing? There's something missing there. And we were, again, we were young, but we had been taught in church and in school to know what it is to be Reformed and to be Christian. The biggest thing was there's no talk of sin. No talk of this being separated from God by sin. And there was no talk of Jesus as Lord. He was just a prophet. And one more thing, and that didn't hit me right away then, but it's hit me over the years, is if God said to Christians, sent Jesus as the prophet to Christians, and we're told this is how God wants you to live, but then he sent Muhammad to the Muslims and said, this is how you are to live, and Confucius and the Hindus and the Buddhas, then where is the real truth? If he is a different God to different groups, where is the truth? And you know, I've never forgotten that night, even though it was that long ago. And I think the reason is because that was one of those times where I determined for myself, I want to know what I believe. I want to understand what I believe. I want to understand how God works. And I want to be able to have the confidence to express it to somebody else. Just like, I mean, I admired they stood up there and they could talk so freely about what they believed. I wanted that. Seventeen days ago, we celebrated the ascension of our Lord. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? He said, "Wait for the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Last week, we celebrated Pentecost. That special Pentecost where the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people. And what happened that day? Let's quickly remember. The sound of a rushing wind. I mean, the disciples were gathered together in the temple. Then they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The tongues of fire coming on each apostle's head. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. And then we had Peter's sermon, where he told the people to repent, to believe, to be baptized. And many believed. 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then the rest of the book of Acts records what being filled with the Holy Spirit looked like. What the early church was like. Andrew Kuivenhoven, in his book Comfort and Joy, describes it this way. The New Testament was written by missionaries and evangelists who were always crossing borders, busy communicating the great news to new areas. Their writings aimed to equip young believers to be better witnesses to the truth. Nothing about New Testament people and situations is static. Everything and everybody is on the march. This is the mission of the Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit's mission changed? What is the message of Pentecost? What is it that we believe? That's where the book of Romans comes in. Paul lays out for us in the book of Romans what it is we believe, how we believe God works our salvation out. And we've taken just a short portion of it, but you need to look at the whole book. And Paul begins with sin. We need to realize that we are separated from God by sin. Sin is that great wall that separates us from God. And we can't get around it. We can't sugarcoat it, and we can't avoid it. If we are going to become right with God again, we have to deal with sin. And in verse 10, Paul says, we are enemies of God. Now that's putting it pretty strongly. It's not that God just looks down at us and says, oh, those people are so messed up. I feel sorry for them. I'm going to have to do something for them. We are enemies of God. That our holy God cannot tolerate sin. And because of our sin, we are His enemies. And then in verse 6, how do we get out of it? How do we get away from our sin? Paul says, Christ came at the right time. The only way we can get away from this wall of sin, that we can get away from this separation from God, is through Jesus Christ, who came at the right time, His time. The right time in history, everything was prepared for His coming. I'm not used to this. But at the time when we needed Him the most, Paul calls us weak. He calls us sinners. He calls us enemies of God. When we needed Christ most, He came to set us free, to bring reconciliation. He came to break down that wall, to be able to bring us back to God. And Paul says in verse 8, just one little phrase, Christ died for us. And for those of you who were in the Doctrines of Grace Bible study that we had, one of the things we talked about was Christ's intentional atonement. He died for us. When Christ hung on that tree, He knew who He was dying for. He knew each one of us that He was dying for. It wasn't that Christ died and then he stored up all of this salvation. And then, okay, now who wants it? I'll give you some, I'll give you some. No. Christ knew who He was dying for. His sheep. He knew us. He died for us. He broke down that wall. And then Paul says, in verses 1 and in 9, he uses the word justified. We have been justified through Christ. Now you've got to kind of picture a courtroom where God is the judge. And we are standing before that judge and we are condemned. There's no other way to put it. We are condemned because of our sin. But then Christ steps in and says, I will take the punishment. I will take it upon myself. And I will take care of it for him, for her. And then God says, okay, justified. He declares us just because of what Christ did. He didn't forget about our sin. He didn't just brush it aside. It was put upon Christ. And we've been declared just. Our status before God is changed. And we receive that by faith. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and works that faith in our lives to believe what Jesus Christ did for us. And it's the evidence is in the change of our lives. And in verse 10, for if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. God will complete what He has started. He's not going to stop and or start and then partway through stop. I'm not going to worry about this person anymore. When God begins His work of salvation, He is going to complete it. We can know that. We can depend upon that. So how do we experience the message? We've heard what the message is. How do we experience it? How do we feel it in our lives? First of all, in verse 1, Paul says, since we've been justified, we have peace with God. Now that's more than just that peace of mind, that that the Baha'i faith was talking about. That peace of mind that everything is okay in the spiritual world and in our minds. Remember, Paul said we were God's enemies. And we now have peace. Think of warfare. And this is not a truce so that, you know, if something changes, then the peace is no longer there. Or it's not a ceasefire. This is a permanent peace that our God gives to us because of what Jesus Christ has done. Secondly, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We have access to God. Through Jesus Christ, by grace, by standing in His righteousness, we now can come back to God. That wall is torn down. The Holy Spirit has made us alive again. We are able to come before our God. And we are able to enter into a relationship with our God. We can experience His love. He's not distant and far away. He's close. He loves us. And He shows us that love. Of all the religions in the world, only Christianity is the one where God comes to His people. In every other faith, it's always a matter of how do I get close to God? What do I have to do to get close to God again? In Christianity, God comes to us. God loves us. And thirdly, more than that, no, in verse 2, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have hope. And it's not just wishful thinking. We have a solid assurance, something that we can base our life upon. What is broken down is gone. We have eternal life. And we even have the beginning of that today. We can begin to experience just a taste of what that eternal life will be like through our relationship with a loving God. And the Holy Spirit is that guarantee that God will complete His work. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is that guarantee that what God is doing, He's going to complete, that eternal life is ours. God the Father promised the Messiah. He came. The Messiah promised the Holy Spirit would come. He came. The Holy Spirit assures us of eternal life. He's not going to let us down. So we have peace. We have access to God. We have hope. Wonderful things. But then Paul says, we also have sufferings. And it's like, wait a minute. Those first three things are pretty good. Sufferings, I'm not so sure about. But Paul says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. And why? Because suffering is not meaningless. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces that hope that does not fail. The sufferings that we go through, whether it be physical, whether it be for being a Christian, the sufferings that we endure are not meaningless. We can rejoice not for suffering, but rejoice in those sufferings because we know that God is still with us and God is building us. I mean, we can see that in the testimonies of those of our own members who are going through tough times, the testimonies that they've written, that we read about. God is building character. And He uses suffering to do that. What is the message? How do we experience the message? How do we deliver the message? Paul says in Ephesians 4, 1-3, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We live a life that is worthy of the calling we've received. God's given us His Word. He shows us how He wants us to live. When we live that way, we are delivering that message. People are watching. And when we show them Christ living in us, they do take notice. And we need to understand the needs of those around us too. We're not going to go and begin by coming to someone and saying, well, you're a sinner. Ultimately, yes. We have to. Everyone has to realize that they are a sinner. In order to receive the Savior, they have to know they're a sinner. But our world today, so many do not understand what sin is. And sometimes we have to understand their needs, their need for a friend, their need for physical needs, for physical help, their need for wisdom. And we can begin by explaining who Jesus is as a teacher, as a friend, as one who provides. But we also have to trust the Holy Spirit. So often, we're afraid to speak out. Again, another quote from Andrew Kuyvenhoven. The reception of the Spirit and the speech of Christians go together. In the book of Acts, we read repeatedly that when the Holy Spirit descended on people, they began to speak in tongues. However, it's not the tongue speaking, but the speaking that deserves emphasis. The Spirit stoops to use our vocal cords for the mission. So those of us who say that we cannot talk about Jesus are grieving the Spirit of God. He wants to communicate through us. End of quote. The miracle is not so much in the speaking of tongues. But the miracle was in these uneducated fishermen standing before the crowds, speaking of what they knew, speaking of the Lord Jesus, speaking that gospel message. Share your experience. We may not have all the answers to the tough questions. And it's no shame to say, I don't know. I'm still learning. But this I do know. This is what Jesus has done for me. And we can't be afraid to share that. But then we also have to understand the urgency. Hebrews 10, 23-25 says, Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to understand that the time is now. The disciples caught that. The Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit worked that urgency in them. And we need that today too. The time is now. So what was missing all those years ago? Redemption and reconciliation. Having peace with God through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His taking away of our sin. That's the message we did not hear that night at that concert. And one more thing that I've thought about over the years too. And that is belonging. And to me, that makes all the difference in the world. The children of Israel understood their belonging to God in the covenant. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will provide for you. You must live for me. We are part of that new covenant. The covenant of Jesus Christ dying. His blood was shed. His body was broken for us. He did it for us. We belong to Him. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are free. Free to serve. Not to try to earn our salvation, but we are free to serve, to enhance our relationship to our God, to enhance our relationship with one another. And we have so much to offer. You know, that Baha'i faith, there were a lot of things that sounded appealing there. But we have more. We have a God who knows us, a God who loves us. We have a God who comes to us and fills us. And we have a sure hope, not something that, okay, it's developing, and sooner or later it will get here. We have a hope that even though we fully don't see it yet, it's solid as a rock. And we can base our lives upon it. That's the message of Pentecost. That's the mission of the Spirit. He still fills us today. He still uses our vocal cords, our speech, our actions to promote His work, to do the work of the kingdom. Let's not be afraid or ashamed, but to trust in Him to go forward. Join me in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the salvation that You have given to us. We realize that we have not earned it, we do not deserve it. It's only by Your grace and through Your mercy and love that we receive this salvation. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, for being willing to die for us. And we pray now that Your Spirit will fill us too, that we will see where You want us to go and what You want us to do, that You will use us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The doors are open, and we are going back into the world. Take these words of Paul in the book of Romans with you as you go. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.